Good morning, Southern Arizona and the rest of you out there in cyberspace. Woohoo! Welcome to the Simmons Car Care Shop Talk Show right here in beautiful, beautiful little dark Tucson, Arizona. ESPNTucson.com, 1490 AM, 94.9 HD4 FM. Jim can't figure out where it's at. I can't figure it out, but it's out there. So, and the tech heads out there, the I would call you gear head, but it's not a gear thing. It's a technical head. It's an electrical head. Hey, you're electric heads. It's 94.9 HD4. Oh, but I'm Jerry Simmons, your host. Along with me is riding shotgun, you know, and we're gonna have some fun today. Jim Mooney from Frontier Towing for all of your towing needs. They tow it. They've been there, towed that. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jerry. That's right. Been there, towed that. Yes, if we could find the HD 94.9 HD5, however you say it, Jerry, that would be
HD4.
Okay. I would love that. At any rate, but nevertheless, precluding that, it's still Super Safe Saturday, folks. And that's right. It's all back again for another round. Here we're here for another hit show. Super Safe Saturday. What does that mean? That means move over and slow down if you see a car with flashing lights. That means Mom's Grocery Getter as well as fire and police and any other service vehicles out there, construction guys or the guys laying at the barricades. Rule says you got to move over and slow down for those guys because you just don't know how close you can get, and that's pretty scary. If you're again Super Safe Saturday, that means no drinking and driving, no texting and driving, no TikToking while you're driving down the road. I know they're funny, so that everybody tells me. Just put that phone down, leave it alone for the whole time you're going to be driving. It's what? How long are you going to be in the car? 15 minutes? 20 minutes. You know, if you're on the freeway going to Phoenix, it'll be a couple hours. And texting on the freeway, folks, will get you a ticket. The Highway Patrol does monitor your actions in a car. They, if you want to run from here to Phoenix, you get outside of Picacho, and then you run through the gauntlet. There's an officer about every 4 miles. Now they will get you. So it's a pretty hefty ticket, so don't do it. If you're working on your cars, today's going to be a nice day. We got done with the rain. Hopefully everybody had their windshield wipers changed the last couple of days because it's been raining. But we should be done with our rain today. Be a pretty nice day, 70 degrees. Going to jack it up. You know, might be a little wet out there still. Jack up your car. Put down your jack stand. Put down your wheel chocks. If you're working on your under the hood, put up the hood prop. Put your keys in your pocket so you don't lock them in the door. Put on your safety glasses. Put on your safety glasses. Put on your safety glasses. Safety glasses, buy yourself a good pair of mechanics gloves so don't chew up your fingers. Jerry's good tip, which is the best tip I've heard, don't stand in front of the car if it's running, just in case it decides to jump in the gear or do something weird. Or don't let your kids jump in the car while you're trying to work on it, because maybe they'll jump it in the gear. Been there for those two, surprisingly enough. And let's see. Oh, disconnect your electrical. If you're working on electrical, don't have your long sleeves in near rotating masses. So if you got the fans going, keep your long sleeves out of the way because they'll suck you right in like nobody's business. I think that's everything. I think I got it all in there. So I think we're good to go there, Jerry.
Yeah. So speaking of that, I went out yesterday. I had to go across town. In fact, I had to make a couple of trips yesterday. Very annoying. And one, I didn't realize that the traffic mimicked L.A. early in the morning on some of these roads. And then you've always got the one or two that think that, okay, I can run 75 miles an hour. Everybody else going 10. But there's an opening up the road. I can see it. It's about a mile away, but it's up there. And they come flying by on the right side. Then I watched a guy dodge, I mean, just weave traffic. I'm going, where's a good cop when you need one? But I don't blame those cops on stealthy streets, too. The driving on golf links in the morning, if you want to go someplace or if you need to go someplace like work, you know, I remember when you used to go in, and if you wanted to dodge the traffic, you just, you know, hit the road about 6:30 in the morning, just go on out, okay? I don't know if they switched all the time changes or something, but they've done something. And I thought I would never going to get 3 miles yesterday on Golf Links Road. There wasn't even a wreck. I thought there was a wreck. I was making excuses for all those cars sitting up there in front of me. Bless her heart, they were sitting in this traffic just wasting gasoline. And I'm going, it didn't really, there was no wrecks. It's just the traffic. Well, coming back in, I got stuck in it last night. And same thing. Holy cow. I went across towns yesterday, and I hadn't been across town in that area probably for a couple of years. I got lost in a place I used to be able to tell you where the mailbox was sitting, all over. They had bulldozed the place. They had put in commercial properties. I had to go to GPS. The GPS even got confused on one. And I'm going, okay. And then I got to really thinking about it and think, okay, how much time am I concentrating on driving versus trying to find this stinking address? And, you know, that was a good point. I told myself, I said, Shelf, maybe you ought to pull off the road because you're older, your patience is not worth the crap anymore. So you get off the road, just keep smiling and say, hey, it's a beautiful day, even though it's raining a little bit. The cactus look more like cactus than potato chips, so there's a good sign to that. And get off the road, find out exactly where you're going, sit there and study the GPS and check it with different angles and make sure that what you've got is where it's supposed to be. Well, it was off just a little bit. And it was between a north address of La Cholla and a west address of La Cholla. I didn't know there were two La Cholla's. So I wound up, about 8 miles to the right. Then by the time I got through driving, I thought, you know, and you have to psych yourself out and say, you know, okay, so you're technically you're lost, but you're not. You're just kind of temporarily misplaced because you've got a GPS. Eventually, you'll get to something that it'll recognize, and then you'll go back to reset, which is what it did. But things are growing so fast, and I don't know if my cell phone is just not that quick on upgrades or what. But I'll tell you one thing. When you're talking about distracted driving, that's the reason I pulled off yesterday. It didn't take me long to listen to Mr. Jim Mooney from Frontier Towing talk about distracted driving and don't do this and stuff. But after a while, when you hear it a few hundred times like I have, you start to actually listen to him. So that is a good thing. That's a good thing. Put that out there. You know, and people are not going to use their headlights. I want you to pull those headlights out and throw them away. The ones that don't believe in using the headlights, I want you to take them out. Don't drive at night. You drive at night without them anyway, so what's the difference? Just take them out. It'll lighten the load up on the car, and you'll get better fuel economy. So there's a bright spot even to that. You will get killed in the first quarter of a mile, but that's all right. That doesn't make any difference anyway. Because you already do it. You don't turn on the lights. Jesus Christ. You know, I don't mean to holler at anybody, but holy cow, I almost got it 3 times last week driving. And it was, you know, and I thought, if I turn my lights off, I wonder if that guy would just ignore me and I'll be on the other lane. He won't see me, so it's no big deal. And I told you last weekend about 3 in less than a quarter of a mile. I didn't even count these. I didn't even count these because there's people, I'm going to tell you something. When you've got those cars that are painted like military green, that they use camo in them, there's a reason the military painted them green. You can't see them. You cannot see them. You turn the lights out on them, I don't care. It just has to be low lights. They're designed not to be seen. So if you drive one of those things, you're a good-looking vehicle. I like the color, actually. But I also know that you've got to run with the lights on if you plan on being seen. Or you can just sit there and then everybody go, you know, as they're sucking wind in through their nose and face trying to say, oh, my gosh, I almost run over him. I didn't even see him. That's real. That's real, people. Please, 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 please turn on your lights. I seen one yesterday in the evening, and I seen it, and it had lights off, and you couldn't even see the car. And then all of a sudden, in about 30 yards maybe, I could see the car. He wasn't speeding or doing anything stupid, just driving without his lights. So he was camouflaged. He had lights turned off so that the alternator wouldn't work to keep the generator, to keep the battery charged up while that was actually running that light to save on a light bulb. It was the only thing I can figure. However, please turn the lights on. And that turned, see, the way I got it figured after I driving last weekend, this is how I get back into real world. If you take out your headlights, take out your taillights, take your turn signal handle off the side of your column, you can lighten a load on that car and get some real good fuel economy. I'll bet you could increase the fuel economy 0.00000001 if you did that. So it'd be really beneficial. It'd be more beneficial for that communication, that car driving down the road, to turn the lights on. just turn them on. Please turn them on. Can't see you.
You know,
sorry, can't see you. But Jim Mooney from Frontier Towing, go ahead.
You know, you talk about the no lights on it. If you're in the middle of nowhere, nobody can see you. It's just like you can't be seen. If somebody's looking for you, you can't see without any lights. So think about that. If you're driving down the road, if you're driving down the road and somebody can't see you, there could be a pedestrian or bicyclist in your path or coming towards you, and they can't see you either. So remember, it works both ways. We see you,
you see us.
So, the GPS thing is kind of funny. I know this sounds crazy, folks, but I'm saying, it's not 100%. It doesn't work 100% all the time. And it's way better than it used to be, folks. It really is. But there's a lot of times where human error, or if you're trying to talk to your phone and you say an address and it miscalculates it, it'll take you to the wrong place, just like Jerry was 8 miles off. 8 miles is a long ways to be off, by the way, Jerry. That's not like 100 feet.
It
that's
is
a long ways.
Yes, it is.
that's a long ways, but it happens a lot more than you know because people, just assume that the GPS will take them where they need to go. Well, the GPS will only take you where you tell it to go, and if you tell it incorrectly, it doesn't know. It can't read your mind yet, I guess.
That's right.
So, when they figure out, if you say home and you know where your home is, it knows where your home is at, then it would probably get you there. But if you're trying to find Jerry's house and you don't tell it the address properly, you transform the numbers or you do something different, or the actual address you give it actually winds up in the middle of an intersection, it doesn't know what to do. It will only take you where you tell it. And then, of course, sometimes the routing is not the greatest. So your example of study the map is a very, very good suggestion. And the reason why I say that is because GPS will sometimes route you on a road that doesn't really exist. It exists in a county plot map. We're going to build a road there, or we have slated that area for road construction in the future, or maybe we were going to build it, 40 years ago, and we determined that we didn't want to do it, but it's still in the county plot. So when they do the search, you know, in lieu of driving down every road, it's really fast to grab the county map and go, oh, well, there's a road there. And you can see them, you know, you can look at them. If you get down and look at the overhead from the map, and you can, and you start looking, and you see, oh, wait, that's a wash? Well, that's probably not a good place to drive. But it looks like a road on the map, and the GPS will take you there because it doesn't know the difference between asphalt and sand yet. Probably they'll get it there. Maybe not in my lifetime, but studying the map it's a really, really good point. It only takes a minute. You know, you're pretty good on the streets, you know, but if you look at the map, you look at the address where it has you, and you zoom it out and go, oh, I wanted to go to Craycroft and River, and it has you pinged down at Craycroft and I-10, but you're going to go the wrong way. And you might recognize that, hey, at Craycroft and River, there's a shopping center, and at Craycroft and I-10, there's a truck stop. So you might go, wait, this is the wrong direction. Then it gives you a chance to recalculate and figure out where it is you really need to go, because it happens frequently, folks. It really does. Maybe we're just in too much of a hurry. I know I can't talk to the phone. It won't understand a single thing I say. My enunciation must be horrible, so I apologize if you can't understand me, but it doesn't work for me. I have to type it in, and texting on the phone or typing on the phone for me is the worst thing on the planet.
Pull off the road. You know, you just pull off the road.
Yeah, pull off the road, yeah.
Well,
pull off the road. And check your route. It's a super great. It's a very easy, and it's a really good recommendation of all the things, you know, Jerry says, which he has great ideas every day. That is a really good one. Check the route before you go. You used to do it with a map. I mean, well, maybe young people don't remember what maps are, but you know, you used to look at the beginning and the ending, and you would follow the map and go, oh, well, there's how I get there. You know, the same thing, it's held by a different device. You look it on your phone or on your computer, and, oh, there's the route I'm going to go. And if you're going the wrong way, you're like, well, I don't remember that we were supposed to get on the interstate to get to where we want to go, and you're on the interstate, that's a good reason to pull off and go, hey, where were we supposed to go? And, unless you just want to take road trips, but it's a really, really good recommendation to check the origination and destination points, making sure that those are areas that you want to go and that's the way you want to go. And then also, there, if you're looking at the map, it'll tell you that if there's a traffic jam, the thing will be red. Oh, maybe I shouldn't drive that direction. So, go ahead, Jerry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you didn't cut me off. That's fine. You know, it's funny you're talking about you don't have to take the freeway, because when I went in, I was at Swan and River Road. When I found the building, it was within a half mile from I-10. That is a drive. And by the way, that wasn't the first time that I went in the area. But the one thing I will say is, one, there's a lot of potholes around Tucson. You need to I think I got most of them collected yesterday, but they're still there. I mean, all they did was just wake my car up and remind me that, oh yeah, there's potholes out here. So, you know, and believe it or not, it was actually raining a little bit yesterday morning, so you have these potholes fill up, you can't see them, especially when you don't know what road you're on. And being around Tucson and in business for 50 years, I've been around Tucson quite a bit. But for the last probably eight years, the construction in this town has been absolutely unreal. I mean, there's places that don't even exist anymore, and they've got new buildings up there. And for some reason, they think that you could put a number plate on the side of a building that's about 2 inches by 2 inches, and you can read it from 100 yards away. And that I found yesterday. And that was a little irritable, but, not, you know, it says you've got to have a plaque on it. I don't know what the code is. But that was a little annoying, and that was awful hard. But that's another one of those distractions. What is distracted driving? And you say, you know, first thing we think about, like Jim's talking, texting and driving. I don't text and drive. I don't even do the GPS and drive. You know, I stop. I think that I've got the right address. I push the button that says start, and then I take off. And I put it down to where I can listen to it. And still, it messes up every now and then. But Jim, you mentioned you can't talk and get yours. You ought to try talking into a GPS with a Southern drawl. You can really figure out that the person on the other end, that lady that tells you when you're wrong, and they, did you say, and then first thing I know, I'm just like Jim, I just pull off the road, grab it, go ahead and type it in to where I'm going to go and hope that I get it right. The interesting thing about yesterday, they actually had two rights. One was a west, one was a north. You could get the same numbers on the address going either direction. And I checked my address that I put in originally, and I was right. I was correct. And it took me to the other one, and I looked back again, and I'm going, this is the first time this has ever happened to me. I was looking for a north address. I typed it in as a north address. When I got to the address, it was a west address. So that one's a little hard to find. I told the business I went into, I said, by the way, y'all need to call GPS and tell them, hey, get my address straightened out. Make it easier. I said, I really don't think that I should have spent 20 minutes cruising around a neighborhood to pop out on the road off of Ruth Roth Road. I don't see that correlation, considering I was on Ruth Roth when they took me off of Ruth Roth. So I'll tell you, you can't believe everything you hear. Artificial intelligence, I actually was laughing at this yesterday. Artificial intelligence, we have artificial intelligence, the computers. Oh, they're smart, they know everything, absolutely everything. Why don't we take artificial intelligence, go ahead and put a fence around Washington, D.C., and put computers in there and let it run the country? I thought that was a heck of an idea, and I'm probably not the only one that ever thought of it either. But, you know, and then it would give us more time to concentrate on local stuff, you know, that actually is meaningful. And but anyway, that was not a slam. I mean, I think it's wonderful. I mean, it's coming out. People say, well, artificial intelligence, they don't like it. I love it.
So are you saying there's no intelligence? Are you saying there's no intelligence in Washington? And at least artificial would be some intelligence? Just asking the question, you know, I mean.
Can I plead the fifth? No, we don't need to go there. We don't need to go there. I mean, you look at artificial intelligence. You've got cars that drive themselves now, right? I mean, they crash a lot, but most of the time it's because somebody else ain't supposed to be there. They forgot to say, okay, Jerry's going to be walking across the middle of a road that's not even a crosswalk. So, you know, artificial intelligence, somebody intelligent better have programmed that son of a gun, or you're going to have a mess. You have me? I can just see me programming something with artificial intelligence. Okay, we're going to take that car out there. Now, I'm from the South, people. This is real. I'm a hillbilly. So I'm from the South, and I'm going to program a car to go from here to North Tucson. And the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to tell that car, all right, now we're going out here at the end of the road, and we're going to go to the left, and we're going to go to the 16th mailbox on the right-hand side, and we're going to take another left, and then we're going to go to three mailboxes on the right side. And by the way, there's a tree right there. When you get that tree, I want you to turn right. That's how an unintelligent individual And y'all can laugh. It happened to me trying to find a high school classmate in Virginia, and I went to the post office. He literally told me, "Well, you're pretty close. You're on the right road. Go down three mailboxes, and then you'll come up to a grove of trees that are growing. Go past that, maybe three-quarters of the way through that grove of trees, and there will be another mailbox right there, and that's your address." That was real. And believe it or not, it was right. I can just see GPS, that lady old GPS said, "All right, you just go down here to three trees." Yeah, whatever. But anyway, I thought it was amazing. It was a fun trip. What, Jim?
We get a lot of customers that will give us those directions. Okay, so I'm on the road, and I'm on the 3rd Street from the 1 Street, but I don't remember the name of the 1 Street, but I'm 3 streets over from that. But there is a fire hydrant next to me. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, that's really tough to find. Okay, so you got to help me out. And you got to back out. I've used Google Maps a lot because I'll back out of I'll get close to where somebody's at. I'm like, okay, so I'm looking at this here. I'm looking at the street view of this address. Is this the address? Is it 5725? I think that sounds right. That kind of sounds like the number that I remember. Okay, how? Because sometimes people just don't know where they're at, and they don't remember where they're at, and they don't know how to figure out where they're at. So, you know, when you talk about AI driving cars, Jerry, at least maybe the AI using cameras and radar and stuff, maybe it won't drive down a wash. Maybe it'll go, "Hey, that's not a road. I don't drive down there." Mm-hmm. By the same token,
I'm looking forward to getting in. But the reason I'm looking forward to get it in, because I don't think that I will see when it's 100% perfected. So I'm not going to have to worry about it anyway. My grandkids are. But, I mean, you know, there's too many things. You know, when you come up with anything new, I keep alluding back to when I first bought my diesel. Well, you go fill up with gasoline, you just roll into a station, hit the pump, fill it up, and go. Hey, when I bought my diesel and started to find gas in 1993, it was a problem. If you didn't go to Flying J out here on the freeway, you better start looking for diesel when you're down about a quarter of a tank, because it wasn't that easy to find. And sometimes you'd be out and you just cross your finger and hope like a Dickens you actually made it to Flying J to fill this son of a gun up, because you wasn't paying attention. So electric plug-in stations, you know, producer was telling me this morning that Ford's got the okay to use the Tesla charging stations and all of this. So, you know, life's getting better as we go along. And then what's that? Hey, producer, jump in here. What's that name of that one you said to just put a new car out?
New car, I believe it's Rivian. Rivian just put out a smaller SUV that's probably around $34,000.
That's amazing, considering Rivian and that truck. Isn't that kind of expensive?
It is, but they're also making the I think it's the R3 and the R3X. So there's three coming out. One small, and it gets smaller, mm-hmm. and then smaller. So I imagine they're going to be probably 25,000 to 70 or 80,000.
That's called an electric smart car. It's a little bit.
Well, they do make an electric.
It comes
smart
with a full roll cage.
Yeah.
It comes with a full external roll cage, right?
Yeah. It goes about 190 miles on a charge, which is surprising for something so small. So it does really well. Yes. That's not so bad for a round town car. I mean, and then the chargers are becoming more abundant and more available now. Tesla has now got the jump on everybody. And, GM and I think Rivian are going to be the next two to join the Tesla charging. They can join the Tesla chargers now. So
Well, good.
And they're
well, I don't see.
Go ahead.
It'd be cheaper to use Tesla charging systems if they can just reach a deal with Tesla than it would be to go out and invest all this money in this other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because by the time they build a secondary, it's going to be massively expensive. They should just tap into Tesla and say, hey, we're going to be the good guys. We're going to allow you to make money on these charging stations, which they are. Don't let anybody kid you.
Oh, yeah.
These charging stations are not going to be inexpensive. They'll keep them competitive with the gasoline prices, but they're not going to be inexpensive. And I don't care what they say. I know how industry works. I've been in industry for 50 years.
Absolutely.
So,
but a lot of it's charging.
It's good.
Believe it or not, in Arizona now, the APS is now authorized a increase in electric charging now. So your electric bill is going to go up. So the corporate commission has now signed off on it, and we're going to see an increase in electricity here pretty soon in everybody's house and everywhere. So yeah, they're going to be probably as expensive as gas, but then you don't have the maintenance. And then you don't have the pollution either,
sure.
So that's one of the good things about it. So,
sure. Yeah, that's the only one good thing, that you don't have to stand there and spend. Oh, wait a minute, sure you do.
Yep, and they're also making an extension.
More developed. And we won't fire Jim up this morning.
They're making an extension for the charging, too, for Tesla now. So they're making a plug that goes into a plug. Let's just say that you can't reach the plug. They're making an extension that will extend from the NACS. So it's pretty.
Well, that's more to pull out. That's more to pull out when you drive away.
True that. True that.
you can catch that electric car. And just get a hold of the leash that's sliding down the road behind it.
Yeah,
I love this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but a lot changing. There's a lot going on. It's not stopping. So
sure,
it's going to happen. So
no, it's there's enough money put behind it by the taxpayers to keep everything going, and for people you just got to remember, the tax dollars, the government has no way to make money. The only way they can make money is to take it from us, and so you know when we see these things come down the road. I think there's other ways that could do it on these cars instead of you and me buying Jim a car and Jim buying me a car. Let's just go ahead and put this thing in leave it alone and let the marketplace bring it to, stock market. Bring it in, bring the product to the public. But that's not the way it's set up right now. It's not the way it's going to be. It's too much money involved. Too much money involved, big time money involved.
Well, it's
and so it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I think the dealerships make anywhere from $40 million a year to $80 million a year, and they're going to lose that revenue too. So, I mean, there's a lot of people are against it because it cuts into their bottom line. But I think more people are becoming more acclimated to the electric vehicle than was 5 years ago.
You know, look at what your oil companies are doing. Your oil companies, where they're investing their money now? Are they investing in more gasoline technology? No, because nobody wants gasoline technology out there. They don't want it increased because right now they think, okay, if we cut down the supply of the gasoline for people, it will force them literally to go to the electric vehicle because they said, hey, if I can't get gasoline or it's so expensive, it's a lot actually cheaper for me to go ahead and take this electric vehicle with it not even being perfected yet and just go ahead and drive it because then I can get gas electric and I don't have to worry about getting gasoline. So they're working the public right now. And the thing about big gas conglomerations, hey, they've been around a long time. They got a lot of money. Trust me, when they start buying up windmills and start investing in windmills and all of that, and then you can look, if you want something to scare you to death, just look at the windmills. Look at how much damage. Look at the cost of a windmill or electric. Just look at the cost of it. Do it with an open mind, because if you do it with a closed mind, you're going to be so mad you won't even finish your article. do it with open mind. Find out exactly what these things cost from the numbers, from the actual numbers. Do the math.
But what no, I like I'm about just, it is we got a new freedom now. We had a choice between diesel or gas or natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
Electric is not something that was a choice any in my lifetime, and now we have a choice. We have a new freedom, which means we can have electricity if we want to, which is actually electricity is actually coursing through our veins right now. So,
hey, solar power. That's what I'm waiting on to get here. They're already making cars in Phoenix.
Yes.
With solar power.
Aptera.
And I'm thinking Arizona's got more sunlight than any place. And Jim and I were down at Pima College doing a live remote, and we met the guy that heads that up in Phoenix. And I told him, I said, that thing is so ugly, you got to sneak up on it to get in the door. And he said, they're working on that.
It's like a George Jetson, isn't it? It's like a George Jetson vehicle, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it reminds you of. But, you know, you just kind of laugh it off and stuff, and I'm going, this is amazing. But I've always said, as much sunlight that they've got in Tucson, Arizona, when they get a solar car out big enough for me to drive, get into in my lifetime, then I'll probably buy one. But I'm not going to pay no $100,000 for a solar car. I ain't going to pay $100,000 for nothing.
I agree.
I'm too old for that.
I think they go about 18 miles on a charge, one daily charge, 18 miles. So it's not so bad. But, hey, while your car's sitting there, you don't park it in the garage anymore or under a car garage. You'd park it outside now. So
it stays out there, and it cooks your paint, and the sun cooks your paint and stuff like that. There is always a downside to anything. That you come up with something, I'll tell you the downside of it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, you can't go to the grocery store and get food without reading the ingredients in it. You look for the calories on the side of the darn thing, and you better look twice because it'll give you a portion of a half a can of bread or beans, and it's one. And so, and you'll see that, that's only 80 calories. Okay, cool. You throw it in your box. You get it home. You cook it. You check your sugar count the next morning. You go, what's happened? Go back, pull a can out of the trash if you haven't thrown it away yet. Pull the can out of the trash and read it again. Oh, that was for 3 ounces, not 6 ounces. The 6 ounces is 220. You know, it just so whatever you see anymore is not what you think it is.
Well the
and
actual
then you go,
the actual cereals
just
have
amazing.
A lot of wood pulp in them, a lot of the cereals. So you see, if you see any kind of cereal going on, it's if you look at the ingredients, it's wood pulp. A lot of wood pulp is being put into it.
See, that's ridiculous. I begin to think they're putting wood pulp in these cars. You know, I worked on one out of Mexico. Simmons worked on one out of Mexico. It was a brand new GM Suburban, brand new at the time. It was like an 89 or 90 or something like that. And we had to go into the backside panels to put some kind of stereo system or something back there. We opened that panel, pulled the carpet back. It was plywood, and that was in 89 or 90, something like that. And I remember seeing it. I said, you got to be kidding me. Then we worked on a truck that was a 68 Ford truck. It come in from Mexico to work on it, and it had a 1956 one-piece steering column in it from a Ford.
Wow.
So, hey, motorhomes. People out there, and the guys working on motorhomes will tell you this. When you get a motorhome, you need a part, you be smart to pull that part off, take it to the Merle's or wherever you're going to have it replaced, and get the one that matches what you've got in it. Because after having a bunch of motorhomes, I'm going to tell you something, the windshield wipers are not even the same. And so, you know, they whatever I had left for last year, or maybe I got a new order for next year model. Oh, that'll fit. I'll just put that on it. And that's crap that I found. And that's on the new. I had a 91 Fleetwood. I went to the lakes in that thing. Boy, me and my family, we was coming back off the lakes. The road's a little bit rough. The whole top console and above the dash fell on top of the dash coming out. It had three screws holding where 12 was supposed to hold. So, you know, quality, I mean, you know, and I mean, you can look at it, well, it's holding up, or, you know, I didn't know. I just assumed that since it's new, it'd all be like that. But I ought to be smarter than that. You can buy a new car, and for you people out there, did you know there's over 30 million cars still on recall for the airbag?
Oh, yeah.
30 million. And I think that might be on the light side. But, I mean, and people are driving them with that. And then you get these technical service bulletins. I read technical service bulletins first part of this week. I quit reading them. I'm going, why don't you just make a darn vehicle that you can sell to the public and we don't have to take it back and forth to back and forth. No, by the way, we've got to do this now because, oh, that won't work what we put in. Come on, industry. It's not like we're getting a bargain on these cars.
I must agree.
Get a price and put it together. Put it together so that we can be proud of it. My 68 Mustang, if I go out and start it up, it's going to be hard to start. And I know it's going to be hard to start because it's been sitting for about a week and a half. If I go out and fire my Honda, it's fuel injection. If I wanted the Mustang to start up quick, I can put fuel injection on that Mustang. It's 1968. It's not like it's a youngster. However, that's what you deal with. That's what you get. But when you're talking about AI, you know, it's like electronic ignition systems that are now in a vehicle. You used to turn the switch on, and you have to just hang on to the switch, the key, to keep going, but don't go more than about 14 seconds on that key because you're going to overheat your starter. And then get off of it, wait a couple of seconds, then hit the starter again. I'm telling you what I have to go through to fire my Mustang when it hadn't been fired up in about a month, month and a half. And I've got a different system on the electronic feed to the spark plugs. I've got a different system, upgraded system on it. And it starts better now than it used to, but it don't start as fast as electric fuel injection systems do.
Yeah, so, Ford had the solenoid on the firewall, which was always nice. I always loved that part about the old Fords, which you could actually start it without having to touch the starter itself. You could use a solenoid on the firewall, which I thought was really neat.
Yeah, you can melt a screwdriver on that thing easy.
But start it right up. It'll start it right up. I've had people that said, hey, I can't start my Ford, and I'd use that solenoid, and sure enough, man, it'd start right up, you know?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. You can do that on tractors, too. But there's always a good, a bad, the ugly in anything, really. A house. You can buy a brand-new house. Just because you got a brand-new house don't mean that you're not going to have to replace the faucet in the kitchen. Because all of a sudden, after 2 weeks of working, it quits working. Because one of the trick valves go out of it. Because you got the one that you just reach over and touch the, it's touch and it's on. Touch and it's off. And all of a sudden that quits. And, oh, you can't understand why it quit. I mean, this is a new house. I mean, you just paid out the ears for a new house. And this is what happens. So, anything, if you want a guarantee, buy a toaster. Go down and get you one for about $25, $30, something like that. And then you go ahead and buy the toaster warranty, and that'll cost you about $7-$8, and you'll be good to go. That way it won't worry you to death. Go out and buy a 2018 Dodge diesel and go in and, okay, how much is the extended warranty on it? Past what the federal, what they put on it from a start. And by the way, there are different stages of warranties on your vehicle. It's not like, okay, well, we guarantee this for 60,000 miles. No, certain things are guaranteed for 60,000 miles. Oh, it's got a 36-month. Yeah, okay. That's in layman's terms, that's 3 years. You got 36 months on it. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, it covers certain things for 36 months. Then after that, it'd cover engine and transmission for 60,000 miles. And if you want it up to 100,000 miles to cover the rest, you're going to write me a check for $3,400. That's over and above what you pay for the truck. So when you're getting that, make sure you know what it is. But I'll give you a little something else on the diesels. If you have, I don't care what kind of diesel you got. I don't care if it's a four-cylinder, or six-cylinder, or whatever it is. You're not, that $3,400, you lose a motor. There, I don't care what size diesel you've got. That's already taking care of that $3,400. And so when you get a new car or you go to Lynn's Auto Brokers and you see one down there that you want, you're going to be tapped into around, you know, I don't know what the average cost of a used vehicle is now. I know what I'm seeing, but they haven't come down like they were supposed to, according to, oh, well, they're going to drop about, what was it? The new cars were going to come down about 9%. The used cars were going to come down 19%. Well, when they were jacked up 50% and come down 19%, you still ain't getting a, you're not getting a smoking deal. But if you're paying $30,000, $35,000 for a vehicle and it's got 100,000 miles on it or 90,000 miles or something like that, it's possible that you can do like I did on my Odyssey. You can pay $2,000 to cover a dual air conditioning system in your vehicle, an engine, and a transmission. Those are covered. It cost me $2,000 to put that extra coverage on that. The rest of the little stuff I cover myself over at Simmons Ford before. Actually, it comes out of Jerry's pocket. And so if you're doing that, make sure. In fact, if you're buying a used vehicle from Lynn's, I want you to talk to Dana or anybody over there and say, okay, show me what coverage you have and explain it to me so I will understand it without having to get a battery of lawyers in order to interpret the paperwork. And that's basically what they did with me because I don't have the patience to sit there and listen to something that I don't understand. I want it written down so I can understand it. And then when I pay the money, then I'll know exactly what's covered. And on insurance, I learned when I used to have an insurance license, if you want to find out what's covered under insurance, read the exclusions. Read what's not covered and take it for heart. My daughter bought a brand new 2006 Dodge half-ton Hemi engine. And within 3 weeks, the controls on the air conditioning doors went out. It was not under warranty. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. It's only 3 weeks old. I said, no, it's not under warranty. And so can't argue with them. You can gripe and say, I swear I'm never going to buy another Dodge. And you're probably lying because we've got a short memory. You'll forget it. But why they put a defective Dodge, that tells me they put a door in there that they knew was going to fail. And rather than change it out, they just said, we're just not going to warranty it. And it was a blend door. Took about an hour and a half to put it in. But it was just a blend door. So people, what you think you got as a warranty may not be a warranty. And I'll tell you another thing, it'll take that warranty out. You've heard me say it, and I'm going to repeat it because it's money. It's money to you, a lot of money if you don't follow instructions. Maintain the vehicle the way it is in the owner's manual. Don't go out and think, okay, well, Jerry, I mean, hey, I used to do this, you know, 10 years ago, and I didn't have to do this, so, and it worked just fine then. Nope. That book that you have in the dash, that little warranty book, that little owner's manual, that is the Bible for that car. That is the Bible. if you don't maintain that vehicle according to the Bible, they will void your warranty. It's that simple. You don't even have an argument. You were told what you need to do. You know what you need to do. You didn't do it. That's on you. And I never will forget the time that the guy with the little Nissan pickup that come in there, had an engine blown at 61,000 miles, and he took it in for warranty. They said, when did you change your oil? And he says, well, I changed it about. That was his first mistake, is about. And the second, he had no paperwork to back it up. He did it himself. He didn't have any paperwork to back it up. And he actually called the show to alert other people. When you do an oil change, you keep a receipt. Some of these tapes are designed, they're not intentionally designed, but the ink does go away. And when you pull out that piece of paper, it's just as clean as if you took it out of a paper bag. I mean, it's just, you can't read it. There's nothing there. Make a copy of it. Put it in. Keep your permanent records on it. Because you're going to need to show that you took care of this car according to the manual. Now, the only thing that's debatable in there is the severe duty and the normal operating duty. Okay? They will give you the option. You can say, okay, now I'm living in Tucson, Arizona, or I'm living in North Carolina, for the people that are listening to me around the country. If you have severe duty, what are the criteria in the severe duty? They are written in the book. They're written in the book. And believe it or not, one of them that I thought was kind of crappy is short distances. Well, short distances around town, that's like me taking my diesel and going down here to Wally World and getting a gallon of milk or something like that. And you go down, you get the milk, you come back. It don't take 20 minutes. It don't take 15 minutes. I mean, the vehicle don't even hardly get into closed loop operation, which allows the catalytic converter to come on, to burn the raw fuel that's going down there, to clear out the system. So you're running down to, and that's all you do with that vehicle, you know, you do it, you know, four times a month, something like that. That's all you ever drive this vehicle. It doesn't have the time. Now, if you take that same vehicle, that same diesel, and you go down to Wally World and to get a gallon of milk, you think, well, I need to run to Phoenix to Bass Pro Shop, and then I'll get the gallon of milk on the way back. Okay, scratch everything I told you. That is not abuse. That is not severe duty. You're going to put that son of a gun on the freeway. You're going to bring it up operating temperature, and you're going to drive that and let it clean everything out, because it'll just process that catalytic converter will process all that raw fuel. It'll be hot enough, long enough to clear it out completely, then you drive it back. Stop by get your gallon of milk and go on home. Another thing on the diesels with the turbochargers and stuff, it's called the EGT, exhaust gas temperature. On a diesel, if you're towing, this is mostly for people that are running, pulling loads, pulling travel trailers, pulling boats, pulling horse trailers, RVs, fifth wheels, bumper pulls, whatever with a diesel. If you're pulling that son of a gun and you run from here to Phoenix, as just an example, you run to Phoenix. Really, there's no real hills or anything. It's not that big of a deal. Actually, Phoenix is lower than Tucson. And you're towing with that load on the back of it. Yes, you're going to have a little bit of EGTs, not that much. Now, you go to Flagstaff and you're cranking that EGT exhaust gas temperatures up on that turbo. You get up there, as soon as you get ready to stop, you just don't shut it off. You let it idle about 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, if you've been on a dead pull and up that big hill going into Flagstaff. when you get there, turn it off, let the charger, the turbo, cool down. Let it cool down a little bit. Because not you're going to be trying to fry the oil that's coming through there, because that turbo is going to be running about, if you're running about 2,800 RPM, that turbo should be running close to 10,000 RPM. That's the reason we don't neglect changing the lube to the engine. The lube to the engine is the same lube that goes to the turbocharger that's responsible for keeping the turbocharger nice and lube with a good quality oil. That's the reason you just can't put regular oil in it. If it calls for synthetic, trust me, that's what the manufacturer has said you run in it. You want to void a warranty? You just put a paraffin-based oil in it where it's supposed to have a lube that services a turbocharger. Don't do it. They will void your warranty. Also, that turbocharger will not sustain at high temperatures. I have tested a 7.3 Ford diesel. I had run and load 26,000 pounds on that thing. I overheated it first time on a 7.3 on a Ford. If you own a Ford 7.3, you know they don't overheat. Yeah, they do. And when that needle goes past that hot line and you're pulling the side of a mountain and you still got about a mile to go to the top, it'll make you almost want to throw up, especially when your wife is sitting on the other side and says, well, how's it feel to blow up your motor? I said, it's not blown up yet. I'm running the best lube, synthetic, that you can put in it. Drove it to the top of the mountain, stopped it, let it idle down. I did not just shut the motor off. I let it idle down until everything started coming back into la-la land anyway. Fired it up after it got back down to regular. Come on into Tucson, Arizona. Called the guy down in Texas that built my chip for my motor. And he said, Jerry, just because it will run, just because it'll run 65 mile an hour with the traffic at 26,000 pounds, don't mean you're supposed to do it. And he said, if that motor goes out, buddy, this one's on you. You earned it. Well, I was running stuff that's very expensive for lube. It held up. Sure strength was good. Amsoil, full synthetic. And there was no damage on the motor. Even when I sold the big one for another guy that was pulling a bigger load than I needed to pull, it was good. So you got to take care of them. And we're 30 seconds, and then I'm going to go fill up my coffee cup and come back, and we're going to do the second hour of the Simmons Car Care Show. And, Jim, okay, you can wake up now. Next hour is your turn.
I'm Bob.
All right, we'll be right back after these messages.